Welcome, everybody, to Declarations of War, your host for this evening, myself, Alexei Card. We're here with UKIG CEO Thaddeus Drake.
Ahoy hoy.
And our very special guest, longtime CSM veteran, and even longer CSM campaign veteran, Mike Azariah.
Hooga, hooga, dive, dive.
Now, all the years that you ran and didn't get in, did they count as like halves or quarters? Do you get credit for that?
I don't know, but if I don't run, and I've planned not to run next time, it'll be the first time since I think CSM4 that I haven't been part of the CSM stuff, so I'm going to have to become a commentator on the side or something, otherwise I'll just go into withdrawal and wind up twitching in the corner going, CSM, CSM.
He's constantly refreshing the campaign forums, like,
why is nobody posting on the thread that I didn't make?
I picture him as, like, the little kid in the department store in one of those movies from the 40s or 50s, and his face is just plastered up against the glass looking at all of the toys. I want to be in there so bad.
Can I just see a downvote or an upvote for a second just to know what it's like?
All right, guys. We're still looking for iTunes reviews, so if you have not yet reviewed the podcast on iTunes, let them know that we're the number one Eve podcast. Or somewhere in that range.
How often do they need updating? Like if you reviewed it sometime in the distant past, which I did.
I don't know. I would err on the side of giving us more props.
I know they do have an expiry date for, like, you know, 2-year-old reviews, and you've been around for at least, what, 3 months?
We've been around for a spell.
I heard that other Scottish guy that does a podcast doesn't do much of it anymore, so does that make us the number one CCP certified?
I don't know if we're CCP certified, but we are real world certified number one podcast. Bombs dropped. Alright, some shout-outs. I'm going to give a shout-out to the Obsidian Front. In particular, Misty, been talking to him recently. Really cool guy. It's a shame that Why Not is not with Obsidian Front anymore. He had some real-life problems and had to leave the game. But a really cool bunch of guys. The most battle-hardened industrialists that I've ever come to know. So, shout-outs to those guys.
I think my shout-outs go to Captain Boomer on his quest to reach 60 billion ISK with minimal effort, and everyone who used the right to vote in the UK general election this week, if Thaddeus could get the words out of his mouth.
My shout-out goes to the new bros in Operation Magic School Bus, and all the other people who are joining and trying to figure out what the hell this game is about. Is it really as complex as you think it is? The answer is no, it's worse than that.
And a final shout out to our longtime sponsor, Eve Timecode. EveTimecode.com, where your business counts. Definitely the best place to buy your plexes. You get a free plex for every $250 you spend, and they accept bitcoins. They're extremely active in supporting the community, so give them your support. That's EveTimecode.com. All right, we got some poll results. We asked, who will be in control of Pravi by the end of the year? Obviously, Providence is one of our hot topics coming up, and probably will be for most of the summer, or at least the first half of the summer. And, 58% think that by the end of the year, Pravi Block will retain control over Providence. No one has confidence in NCDOT. They have 0 votes. I'm not terribly shocked, because as this poll was going on, NCDOT's been doing their whole Pravi invasion, and it doesn't seem to be going terribly well. And that is our lead story in EVE News. NCDOT is deployed into Providence in anticipation of the Imperium invasion. And we had a little discussion on the last podcast as what their purpose might be. Thaddeus had the great idea that it could be to set up a staging base inside Pravi to more easily fight Imperium. But it doesn't look like that's going very well.
I think if that was the reason, they would have done better to negotiate a staging point from CVA rather than try to take it and then sit there and take battering from two sides.
Now, what I suspect happened was that maybe they... I mean, if this theory is correct, I'm sure they approached CVA about this, and CVA in their typical sort of asshole-ish Diplo tradition would not hear of it, you know, because NCDOT's not red, don't shoot it, or because they don't praise the Amar Emperor, or whatever bullshit reason they want to come up with.
Empress.
Same diff. I mean, come on. Are we really supposed to think that's a woman? I've seen Empress Jamil.
Not gonna go there. Not gonna go there. Imperium did get 33% of the votes for owning Pravi by the end of the year, and the last vote was someone else, which is kind of what my vote was, but not. I didn't vote on this one because you didn't have, and I complained to you before we start recording. You didn't have my choice.
And what was your choice?
My choice was nobody can own a burning landscape where the ground has been salted.
You say that, but I hear little fingers in the market.
So I'm just saying that there's, if somebody decides to burn Pravi to the ground, if Entosis and all the rest goes through and just makes it enough of a hell zone that nobody can actually hold any part of it for longer than a week before somebody comes and stomps them back into the Dark Ages.
Well, the initial iteration of Fazisov is not going to have outpost destruction, so I don't think that's likely. You can burn Pravi to the ground, but it'll still be there. It still has an outpost in almost every system.
Yep, I know
that. The
best
you're going to hope for is removing CVA, probably replacing it with some kind of puppet government or governments, which has been done before. You know, all this has happened before, all this will happen again.
Yeah, but it never took, did it?
No, because CVA continually just puts pressure till they can break back in, and no one ever hangs around and probably long enough to occupy it.
Yeah, that's the issue, is winning is one thing. Keeping the win or making it mean something is an entirely different and much more difficult proposition.
I'm still thinking Thaddylands 2015.
Yes! Thad World.
I mean, if you want. I said land, you said world, me. I don't have that big an ego.
Either way, it's still going to be one of the best 0-0 conflicts to come out of Fazisov, my prediction. I think all eyes are going to be on Providence and what's going to go on there. And it should be extremely entertaining.
Tell the truth, I'm cheering for them to hang on, but then I'm a veteran RP type guy, so I actually like the fact that they've taken a stand that is unpopular, taken a battle doctrine that is very unpopular.
And what doctrine is that?
Well, I don't mean ship doctrine, I mean their rules of engagement.
The rules of the engagement where they set whoever they want red before they shoot them?
Yeah, as opposed to just shoot blues every day.
Well, I don't know who I'm... Honestly, I don't know. I like Pravi in that I like its status quo. It's a good place to fight and farm and all that kind of stuff. On the other hand, it is always nice every couple of years for CVA to get knocked on their ass. And I really am a big fan of the Imperium's new sort of tongue-in-cheek roleplay kind of thing. I think it's at least a little novel. So, I don't know. I think I'm hoping for CVA to get rolled over and then eventually rebuild Pravi and go through that process again. I think that's what I would like to see. I don't think they should be gone forever. They probably will never be gone forever, just like AAA will never be gone from Catch. Same difference. It would have to take, like, a coalition deciding to move to Providence to live there to keep CVA out. I don't see that happening because I don't think there's any coalitions left to do that unless Black Legion decides they want a region. It's pretty much all they could do.
What would happen if the CFC requested Hero to shift over there?
Hero could probably hold on to it, but they've already moved Hero to Fountain, so I don't think that's likely. Speaking of Fountain, Black Legion, etc., there were some really impressive dunks out of Black Legion lately. They downed two CFC Titans that were moving around, plus a few other supers. And this is despite having some leaked internal drama that shows that, you know, things might not be quite all right going on under the hood. They at least still had the wherewithal and military coordination to, you know, get these massive kills.
Is this the one that is this the one where Black Legion was called in after another group did the hunt and pin?
Sure, but they still came in large numbers, enough to kill multiple Titans, which isn't that usual. I mean, one Titan going down, okay, it happens all the time. Multiple Titans? That's news.
Yeah, Fountain Core. Sorry, I couldn't remember the name of them. I've actually never heard of Fountain Core before.
Oh, they're the best core. No, Fountain Core is the... That's a very shifting coalition. That's pretty much whoever lives in the handful of NPC systems in the middle of Fountain. And that membership of that coalition changes pretty rapidly, but over the past 6 to 8 months, I would say, they've really been building up their military capabilities and have become an actual pretty decent-sized threat to alliances living in that area, as evidenced by them catching two supers. The BL drama, I don't really know what to make of it. Seems like it's just a bunch of... Yeah, I don't know. I don't think there's a lot of there. I think it's... BL is very dependent on Elo Knight. With Elo Knight being away, there's a lot of confusion and cross-communication that they'll probably work out. That's going to be my guess.
That's kind of a bad thing if one person is the key to an organization. Then they become almost indispensable, and if they can be removed from the equation, do they get that weak that fast?
I mean, I think it's just a case of transition of style for the time that Elo's away. I mean, if you read on Reddit and you read what people are saying about BL, it's... This week's been difficult because they're shifting from a model of everything is done from the top down, from the head of the alliance down, to that shift where it's now people and individual corporations making content.
Perish the thought.
I know, yeah.
Having been in Black Legion, I mean, it definitely is. Elo is the indispensable individual. He does have some help. I'm going to give a shout out to Ipsimus in particular. He's a cool dude. Knows what he's doing, but he just doesn't have the charisma of Elo, and it's one of those situations where whenever Elo's on, like, he's always taking the front seat. A lot of alliance leaders, maybe they'll come on and an FC will already be doing something, and they just sort of hop in, slot in, and fill whatever role is needed. Elo is the FC every time, all the time, and it's rare that he's not posting or creating the op/content in the first place.
Well, I mean, I know I never log on when you're not around, so I can see that.
And really, why would you? I'm the life of the party in this alliance.
I know, right?
If you smell what Alexa of Card is cooking.
It's not got the same ring to it, mate.
Nah, I know.
Smells like cabbage to me, but then...
Oh, don't even. I hate cabbage. It's gross. It smells like spaghetti in a pot. So that's pretty much all I cook. Alrighty. In addition, speaking of dunks, we don't have too much inside info on this, so we're just going to mention it briefly. But there's a massive fight in wormholes involving Laserhawks and a few other large wormhole corporations where about a Titan's worth of ISK went down in various dreadnoughts, tech threes, faction battleships, all this kind of stuff. They really went at it. I don't know what the the background was on this, but it got a mention on the 07 show, so it was quite a big to-do. And if any wormholers are out there listening to this podcast, then you can give us a battle report or a breakdown. Maybe give us a sense of the larger context of what is going on here. We would really love that, and would be happy to read it on the air. Final bit of EVE news, much happier note. Sindel Pelion has put out a new parody song, and it is amazing! It is a parody of Taylor Swift's Blank Space, entitled Blue List. And it is everything you would expect from a Sindel Pelion parody. Absolutely top-notch sound quality, humor, etc. There will be a link to it in our show notes. Go download it. Check it out. It's hilarious. In fact, we'll probably put it as the end song of this podcast.
Good choice.
Oh, yeah. So inspired. And speaking of inspired, apparently it's at least Randolph's idea, which makes sense on so many levels.
I think one of my favorite things from not this past FanFest, but the FanFest before, was being up on stage with her singing background to Dumb Ways to Die.
Yep, another good one of her songs. She really has quite the discography. Discography? How do you pronounce that? Just one hit after another.
Right. Yeah.
One hit after another, indeed. Okay.
I think she's done enough to record an LP, but most of you are too young to know what the hell an LP is, so...
No, we're not.
There's that.
I'm almost 30. Thaddeus is probably, like, what, 66, somewhere in there?
I'm 25.
Great, so I add the two of you together, and I get my age.
I'm from like, Scotland.
It's not our fault.
So we
not
live
our
in 1954.
It's not all fart that you're all fart that you're slowly losing your faculties and various parts of your body are shutting down and you're slowly losing
it's
what makes you you.
When I go into the hospital, that what are you here for this time? I said, what can I say? The warranty ran out on my body. My wife says it's a bad sign, though, when I go in for surgery and the nurses greet me like an old friend. Oh, it's you again. Come on in. You know the routine. Oh, gee, thanks. That makes me feel really weird that I'm known in the hospital well enough to be greeted.
It's good
to see him out
teacher,
in the parking lot. It's this guy again. Everybody put on a smile.
Just cut him, finish it, throw him out. He knows his way home.
Fucking Christ, Mike again? Jesus, it's the third time this week. Hi, Mike! How are you?
Actually, the funny thing is, I don't know if you've been into a hospital lately, but for fear of doing the wrong surgery to the wrong person, every time they talk to you, they have to look at your bracelet and then ask you when your birthday is and what your name is. And I got so tired of this, I told one of the anesthesiologists, I'm tempted to lie and call myself Ramon. And he said, I dare you to do that in surgery. He didn't know me very well. So, go in surgery, head nurse goes, you know, just standard thing, picks it up. Any allergies? No. When's your birthday? This date. What's your name? I said, it's Mike, but most people know me as Ramon. And I hear both anesthesiologists behind me just splitting a gut. I can't crane my neck around to see them, but they're just... And man, I went under the smoothest. I swear they got out the good stuff for me that time.
Nice. All right, guys. I want to give a quick pop to our other sponsor, EveBet. Eve-bet.com. Now, if you go onto EveBet and you bet correctly, you may actually be able to afford surgery. It's New Eden's premier betting service. They have sort of Vegas industry standard odds on a lot of things. You can bet on real sports, UFC, esports like League of Legends and that kind of stuff, as well as, of course, Eve stuff. Or you can absolutely bet on, you know, say the Alliance tournament coming up, things like that. And they've handled trillions with a T, hundreds of trillions, as a matter of fact, since their opening. So they're a very reliable service that you can trust. Check out eve-bet.com. Mike, we had a new patch.
Yeah, we did. Mosaic. And we found out the names of the next patch, was it?
Yeah, Aegis.
I get so confused because there's three different naming conventions for patches now that I have to know and be able to collate. And there's just saying the May patch, the June patch. And then there's also a naming convention that CCP uses before somebody comes up with a good name for it. And most of them continue to use that name all the way through. And then there's the public name for it.
Oh,
and
geez.
So half the time when they're talking about it, if they use one of the alternative names for it, I have to go through my notes to figure out, is this the one in May or the one in June or the one in, you know, oh, there isn't a May patch. Never mind. But you understand what I mean? That I'd like them to just nail it down and say, this is the patch for this date and stop calling it Herbert or, you know, some ancient Greek god of the underworld's toilet facilities.
I'm waiting for like the ETA till they just start doing numbers like League of Legends. Like, this is patch 5.8. Fuck it.
I wonder if they're going to do that. But the thing is, with the shortening of the patch cycle, or I don't know if you want to call it patch. It's not an expansion, but of changes that they've actually said that now, that if there's something neat, they don't wait until the next cycle. They'll roll it out in the middle and you'll just get a little minor update when you log on the next morning. And you've seen that happen once or twice. Or if there's a bug, for example, you can paint any skin on any ship. Not that that would ever happen. Then they can just roll out a patch or a fix for that the next day.
Yeah, good. I'm happy for them. You know, to be able to not have to wait to fix the game or put out features that they want to put out, that's tremendous. So, Mike, why don't you give us some highlights from Mosaic? And if you can, to the extent that your NDA allows, give us a little insight into sort of the theme or thought process as to how those features got in here and what's coming down the pipe. You know, what is this building toward?
Damn it, I'm going to have to bring up my notes on Mosaic, so actually I'm talking from a point of... one thing about being really old is everything blurs together after a while, and that's why I'm always nervous about whether... Have they announced this, or have they even shipped it, or have they even decided...
That's the cataracts.
Yeah. No, that's Alzheimer's. They told me what Alzheimer's was, but I forget.
That's horrible, Mike. That's terrible.
I never claimed my jokes were good. This one I felt was not the biggest thing going, if you know what I mean. It had a lot of little things that are nice, but not necessarily... It wasn't just not a Jesus feature. It wasn't even one of the apostles. And I don't know how I could translate to that.
That's right over the head.
Yeah, I don't think I can translate to other religions. If you don't get that joke, then tough. Like, translation for resource loading was corrected in the Russian client. Woo! Yeah, I've been waiting for that one.
I'm sure somewhere there's a Russian botter who was like, yes, finally.
Some of them I do, like, being able to see opportunities and find out what all the new bros have been complaining about. And then being able to minimize it so I don't have to see it every damn time when I log on. So having the control to see things. This is something we've been fighting for on an ongoing basis, for more than a year now, is when they bring in some options, it'd be really nice to have an off switch for them for when you decide you don't want to have all those green and red diamonds all over your screen. By the way, you do know that there is an off switch for that now.
Yes, I do.
It's amazing how many people don't still complain about it. I'm saying, have you tried Control-O or Alt-O or just clicking on the little outer ring of your HUD?
Why would I do that?
Yeah, I never turned that off. I mean, why would you?
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, it's something else I can warp to in an emergency.
Exactly.
And I love being able to see something like that. I wish I could see my bloody bookmarks in some system so I could say, yeah, that guy's right next to one of my tactical perches. I could go there and be right on top of him. But that's just the bomber in me.
It's like a ready-made safe spot. I mean, what's not to like?
Yeah, or being able to see quick exits. If I were a miner, I'd probably put some on a plane that I was orbiting just so that no matter where I was in my orbit, there was an instant warp out. Something comes and I'm gone because I tend to be a moving miner when I mine. The map is shifted out of beta. I do have one issue with that in that, I don't know, have you tried probing since the new map came out?
Yes. Haven't. Oh, you have, Thaddeus?
I have.
What do you think of it, Thaddeus?
Initially, I found it difficult because stylistically it's so different from the old F10 system. Having worked with it for the past few days and started training by scanning down sights and then eventually taking it back to combat scanning, it's fine. For me, I don't think it's a better system in terms of usability, but stylistically, it fits a lot more into the art style that the art department are going for now. So visually, I like it. Coming from the old system, it was difficult.
I have a problem just with the color. That light blue of when you're grabbing one of the move points is just a little not contrasting enough for me. And again, Alex can say cataracts, but you know what I mean? It used to be really obvious whether you're grabbing the arrow or the top of the box to shift the entire set. And now I have to squint or, you know, rotate it around, zoom a bunch just to make sure I've got what I want.
I'd like some labels on it as well. I mean, I know they've got the icons for all the celestial bodies and they've got the icons for your bookmarks now, I think. But it would be nice to have the labels of, you know, this is planet one, this is planet five, station, whatever, just so you've got that quick point of reference if you're trying to scan something down so you don't have to mouse over everything.
Yeah, I agree. It's a learning curve, but then everything in EVE is a learning curve. It's not a drag race and it's not NASCAR. There's lots of, it's more like F1. Oh man, yep. I'm just going all over the place with my analogies tonight, aren't I?
Motor racing now, I like it.
Two things that were added that, as far as I'm concerned, were the big things for Mosaic or in the neighborhood of Mosaic. And one was the skin system. And the other was finally two-factor authentication, even if it does have a way to lock your door, but your window's still wide open. Now, just out of curiosity for you two, do either of you use the launcher, or are you both .exe launch?
I use the launcher just because it's there.
Yeah, I'm launcher too.
As am I, but the thing is the two-factor, if you go around it, kind of skims past that a little. But it's
By a little, you mean the two-factor authentication is essentially pointless because all you have to do is launch from .exe and you don't doesn't make you go through it.
Yeah, that's.
But I guess we all have to start somewhere, even if that somewhere is why did you even put it in if you couldn't actually make it work for logins? I don't get it.
I wonder how much kickback, and this is not a discussion I've had with CCP, but just that the public would have if there was a check that we will not launch .exe unless you got the launcher up and running.
That's questionable.
Yeah, it is, because a lot of I do know a fair number of people who just .exe and they say, never trust the launcher, it always breaks on me or it crashes or I can't get back in if I use a launcher and I'm right back in. If you get a DC, it's faster to come back in on the .exe. And sometimes getting back in is really important. If your ship was someplace, it might die in the meantime.
Yeah.
But it's a start. And like you said, a start is good in and of itself.
Well, no, it's not good in and of itself. It's good if something is built on top of it.
Yeah. Yeah, because if you don't build on top of it, then it might as well be captain's quarters.
Exactly. Exactly right.
The one problem, or not problem, but the one issue that, and I'm almost phasing into the CSM stuff with this, but you asked for CSM take on...
I did. Music,
is the faster that changes happen, the faster that they have releases, patches, whatever you want to call it, means that turnaround time gets tighter. And if you've ever worked in a coding environment, you know that about a week before, you got to make sure everything's polished, everything works, bug check it all to hell. And with a faster turnaround, it means that CCP is a lot more busy and doesn't have the casual time to chat with CSM as much. Now, they're still chatting with us, but just we don't get a three-month lead time to discuss something. As you know, it used to be that the next patch is 6 months away. Here's our general idea, and there'd be lots of give and take and feedback. Now the next patch is, we barely finished the last one, we fixed the things, so you got a two-week span either side of the patch where CCP's focused internally, and then you can start a discussion for the next one, but you've only got 2-3 weeks before they're saying, now we got to ship it, or now we got to purify it, make the choices, whether it's a go, no go, that sort of thing. And so it's more demanding and less... consideration time, less lead time.
But I believe CCP is also more willing to push things back if need be. Is that not
absolutely
true.
And you know, Fozzie just showed that on the 07 show the other day, to a certain extent, that they're not rolling all of Sov simultaneously. You know, they're doing it in a considered manner, so to speak. But yeah, it's nice when you say, okay, this isn't quite ready, can we have another few weeks on it? Management says, sure, make sure it's right, do it, or get it out there. So, and it's not like because you didn't ship it, it now has to wait 6 months to get shipped. Hell, mm-hmm. if it's a good thing or a small thing, like just fixing localization or something like that, doesn't even have to wait the 6 weeks. Tell us when it's done, and we'll put it in as one of those minor patches.
Also worth mentioning in Mosaic, there were some changes to Sov. Nothing huge, but for instance, iHubs can now be constructed by players, and they're also considerably smaller, so they're more easy to move. They changed some 0-0 auras to make it a little bit more easy for an alliance that's in deep 0-0 to self-sustain by mining. They can actually produce Tech 1 ships, for instance.
And as a result, they also changed, didn't they change some of the build requirements for some things as well?
Yep. I forget if they added or removed. Was it Morphite? Megasites? One of those things.
Oh, here it is. The Zydrine and Megasite consumption of almost all blueprints have been doubled.
There you go.
The other thing that I would not know much about, but you might, Alex, is the change to the Corp interface.
I haven't actually touched it yet. And because the Corp interface has been so bad for so long, Noir doesn't actually use hangers for more than like handoffs to directors between things. Usually we just use contracts if we need anything like that. Up in Alliance Lobby right now, we have Cassidy Sky, who just took over Noir Academy. And he's right now investigating using the new Corp interface to make Academy work easier for like giving them replacement ships and things like that. But I haven't even opened it up, to be quite honest.
Did he use the previous one? Like, will he have a before and after opinion, or just he's learning the new one as he's starting up the job?
Learning a new one fresh off the boat.
Okay. I'd love to hear input from somebody who had to fight through even the lessening of screens from 11 to 5 is a huge, if that was the numbers, huge step forward, making the roles understandable. So you're not accidentally, you meant to give the guy the ability to see what was in one hangar, and all of a sudden he's cleaning out your main base and all the wallets.
I still think there's a lot to be desired on what exactly based at other HQ, all this, the different labels they give to hangars are. It's still very complicated. I think there's a pretty long way to go on the Corp interface, but it does look better. It certainly looks more manageable. The collapsing the screens from 11 to 5. If it was 11, it may have been even more.
The smaller is good, and understandable is really important. It's bad when you get tricked and fooled by somebody and it takes you for everything that you've got. But that's part of the game. It's worse when you get fooled by the game systems itself and somebody just takes advantage of the fact that they know loopholes that you don't, because the game is so convoluted that not even the designers of the game know all the rules.
Yeah. And yeah, it's just one of those things. Like, somebody convinces you to give them access to a certain hangar and then they clean it. Fair game. But if you're trying to give them access to one hangar and you accidentally give them access to every hangar but that one, for instance, that's, you know, it's like putting putting a jump freighter on the market for 4 risk instead of 4 billion risk. Like, it's just a stupid mistake. It's not like you're super clever if you buy it. Like, oh wow, I just scammed this guy.
Somebody, yeah, yeah.
No, you didn't.
That's what I mean. You want scams to be proof that you were able to outthink the person who socially engineered them, not take advantage of the fact that when somebody goes to pay, you can clean out their bank account because they didn't notice that you'd entered in a whole bunch of zeros on the Interact machine.
Well, alright. As far as the new skins, I'm liking them. I purchased a permanent skin thing for my Algos. It now is blue-green and silver. Looks freaking great.
How's the prices on them going? I've heard that they've been all over the place.
They're pretty pricey. I think I paid Arum because I had all the Arum they gave away ever. I haven't spent it on anything, so I bought this with Arum. But I think it was like 300 something mil. Which, for a destroyer skin, maybe a little high, but I guess it really does depend on how much use you decide to get out of it. I was happy to pay it for the Arum because it looks nice and I don't use Arum for anything. So,
to connect up the skins to something else, it was one of the forum discussions I was taking part in this past week and the week before. We haven't mentioned, but you do know about Plex for Good, right?
Yes.
Okay, for those of you who are listening, I don't know when Alex is going to release this, but if it comes out before the 15th, CCP is accepting donations through, I think it's actually called CCP Plex for Good or something like that. I don't have the exact character name.
And I think it's close to right.
All the money raised goes straight to the Icelandic Red Cross to help the people in Nepal to recover from the earthquake that they had a month back. And somebody suggested in the forums, and I definitely thought it was a great idea. I don't think it'll kick in this time, but I am going to be pushing if I make it to one of the summits. I'm going to be talking to the art department for a temporary skin that you can put on a ship. Kind of like, be nice to me, I gave blood today, or I voted today, but it's just I donated, and it's just a skin that'll last for a week or 30 days, whatever, to show that you actually did something in the game that affected people's lives outside of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I like the idea of having some temporary skins for specific things and permanent skins for others.
Yeah, for some reason, I got a bunch of permanent skins and then one skin only for 30 days. I haven't activated it yet. But it was a little confusing as to why that one was 30 and the others were not.
I've got one of those as well. I can't remember. Probably it's the same one.
I think that's your pirate drops for your pirate skins. So Garistas and Blood Raiders are all 30-day instead of permanent.
Huh. Yeah, that would make sense then.
But it's just the idea of having some one person put forward to me, and I've made a note to ask about it, is the one type of skin sale they don't have is what it used to be, where you buy a skin that you don't have a skin license. This is the one copy of it you have, and it lasts until the ship dies.
Yeah, that was meh.
You can't transfer it, you can't do anything. That's the skin, period.
Yeah, we had that, and it kind of, I like the new one better. Unless there's some kind of super rare, like only one or a limited number exists kind of thing, I'd be fine with that. But
yeah, so it becomes a bling thing.
Right. For general use, I think the new skin system is better. Still waiting for the custom skins or custom color palettes. Still waiting for the ability for a corp or alliance to purchase a skin license for everyone else.
That's the one I'm fighting for as well, and I want to see is, like you said, alliance. So you can have almost like an alliance uniform for your ships. All of
precisely
them on grid.
Yeah,
are black and red with gold trim or something like that.
Wow, it'd be brilliant. And I think alliance leaders would probably invest quite a bit in that. I certainly would. I think it'd be really helpful for, EVE Media. Music videos, fight videos, alliance tournament broadcasts.
Yeah,
to have two distinct.
Where you can see red team versus blue team.
Yeah, you could turn brackets off and just let the ships be the ships and have one side versus the other side, and people can clearly see who's who just by looking at it. It'd be great.
That makes a ton of sense to me.
Hey, man. Just make it make a ton of sense to CCP. I think that is where they're going, because we finally have the technical capabilities to do it in a way that's much cooler than we're able to do it before. It's just a matter of getting them to sort of get over the fact that, yes, some capsuleers are probably going to have a light blue or a pink ship fleet code, but, if people don't like that, they won't join them.
You are not going to get an Applejack paint job for your ship.
Oh, I will. Amar is almost there already. All I need is like a soft orange gold and we're gone. But, I mean, yeah, so I'm sure some players will make something weird, but if you put it at the Alliance level, and you make it cost quite a bit, I think more than likely people are going to pick stuff that makes sense for their culture and not have a lot of, like, crazy other stuff. And then, yeah, I mean, just
the one I
just deal with it.
Is you guys painting it black and the goons going with B colors, you know, just black and yellow stripes.
Yeah, and what's wrong with that?
And that's the thing. Those ones, totally okay. But if somebody makes a Hello Kitty alliance, no.
Like, well, what would be so wrong with that? White with pink highlights. Okay.
No.
Hey, if you don't like it, don't join that alliance. You know, it's a social issue that will be solved, believe me. If Capsuleers support the idea, they'll join it. If they don't support the idea, they'll leave.
And
period.
Some people will join it just to piss off the other ones, the same way some people bought monocles just because they knew it drove the other ones up the wall.
And that's Eve. That's the way it should be. My view. What would be so bad about that? We can have monocles. We can have this. You know what I mean? Hey, come on.
Yeah,
monocles are shit. This would be awesome. Speaking of our alliance, though, a little bit of update on No Not Believing, tell you how we're doing. Doing really well. We've got another contract in the books. This was Providence. It is officially, like, donezo. Our kill board is doesn't have the history page functioning yet, so I can't give you the usual rundown, but... we'll say that we had a record number of damage.
You done good. Who were you up against?
Oh, we done great. Just Providence in general.
So the final... Sorry, Mike.
Sorry, it was just stirring up problems throughout Provi?
Yeah, it was basically kill as much as we could. It was our first spin out, so we charged lighter than we normally would for a contract just to kick the tires. It was our first major deployment in 00 as an alliance. So it was all about just, you know, proving that we could do it and you know, working out any kinks that would happen to come up, and we blew it out right out of the water.
I mean, even talking about from last show when we were discussing it, I don't think we quite realized the traction that we'd take with it by the end. And I think it's been a really good test of the mechanics of the new alliance, and it's really encouraging for the future. I mean, I think correct me if I'm wrong, Alec, the efficiency was high 80s, low 90s?
It was well above 90%, I believe.
Yeah.
For those of you that are not in the know, Deliter, one of our directors, is building a kill board from scratch. So we weren't quite happy with our old board, and... none of us really liked Z-Kill too much. So we're building a custom kill board. It's pretty sweet. It's still, like, very much under construction, though, with some parts of it not quite functioning yet, and most of it not being properly skinned or anything like that. But a lot of the core functionality is there, and it's going to look pretty dope when it's done.
For Dell doing this in his spare time, it's a massive achievement.
Yeah, for sure. I didn't even really know he had it in him, but sure enough, he does.
I know.
Oh, wait, there it is. I think this is missing a couple kills, but over 60 billion in damage, nearly 500 kills, over 91% efficiency. We rocked it pretty hard.
Cool.
Oh, yeah. I was very pleased with how the Alliance... came together. Like, we started off a bit rough. CVA was countering our tactics. So we came up with new tactics and just really pushed it. We did a little Spectre Fleet stuff, did a lot of camping, some fast roams. We dropped a triage carrier into R3 for a fight. The one thing that wasn't working was Black Ops, and that's what we started off with, and CVA was just too quick on killing the Hunter Killers. So we had to change things. We went with faster roams like frigates and nano cruisers, camping stuff, like I said. and taking up bigger fleets and to go actually fight them, and that was what worked. So it brought home the bacon. Speaking of video footage, I just made my first PvP video. There's going to be a link to it in the show notes. That was a Algos fleet that I FC'd into Providence during the contract. This is a test doctrine that we're working out, but it tested pretty well initially, so I decided to take it out on the contract just to see how it went. Besides, it was super cheap. I think the entire fleet cost 200 mil or something like that. We went out there, and we wound up killing, I think, 1.4 bill in a single fight, something like that. Killed a faction-fit devoter, a pair of guardians. Like, probably tried to bring this armor fleet on top of us after we killed the devoter. We knew that they were coming behind us. We killed the devoter with a couple seconds to spare. The bait Abaddon warped in on us, engaged the Abaddon. Got the guy that the Abaddon tackled, jumped through, no problem. We started shooting the Abaddon. We're like, oh, well, you know, the Guardians are coming, but they're a bit behind them. Let's see if we can kill this Abaddon. And I think we got it to maybe half armor or something. And then Guardians landed. But they landed like 60 kilometers off the Abaddon, who we knew didn't have targeting computers because he was scramming and webbing and doing all that kind of stuff to us. So we're like, well, shit, fuck this plan that we're going to run away. Let's go after these Guardians. So on the drop of a hat, we all swarmed the Guardians, neutered one out, killed the other one, killed the one we neutered out. Then we turned back around on the fleet that was landing behind them at the gated zero. Picked up a Vexer, almost picked up a Hurricane, almost picked up the Abaddon again. It was a pretty awesome fight. I was really happy that I got it on footage and was able to put some music to it. So go check it out. There's also Thaddeus. You did your video. I think you linked to it on the last show. And we're putting out a lot more video content. I think that's probably going to be a thing for this new alliance. Because it's just awesome and it's fun and it's a lot easier to do now than it ever was before. So expect a lot more of that. We picked up Noir Academy. They're now in the Alliance. We've changed how Noir Academy is going to be working. They now have ship restrictions, but ships are provided for them. So these are going to be Doctrine ships that are definitely good learning ships for them, but are not going to be super expensive if they happen to die. We're going to streamline the program so that more experienced pilots or pilots that learn super fast can come in and get through it, you know, in record time, but also provide a good learning environment for pilots who are not so experienced. We have a fourth corp joining later today, a very small but extremely proficient Australian corp who specialize in high-efficiency gate camps and multi-boxing. They run 5 clients a pop, so that's pretty neat. We're bringing them in today. And we may have a fifth corp coming in at the end of the month. That's less sure, but definitely something that we're hoping for. I'm trying to talk to them to get them in before the Alliance tournament cutoff deadline, but it doesn't look likely. We'll see about that. But yeah, things are going quite well. I'm very happy to be welcoming in these new corps, and really looking forward to... I mean, we already rocked this Providence thing, and now with these Australians, looking at their killboard numbers, what they're able to do just on their own without an alliance. Oh, man. It's going to be good, our next Series Zero contract. It's going to be great.
Yeah, it's exciting times.
All right. And that's it, guys. That's it for 95. Coming up on our 100th episode. Can't wait. If you'd like to join Noir, come hang out in Cafe Noir. If you're interested in joining No Not Believing as a corp, you can convo a Luxave card. Really excited to talk to you about it. We're doing some good things in this alliance. And with that, you know, hit our website, check out the show poll, iTunes reviews, support Mike Azariah's possible third, fourth, fifth term if he decides to run again. I don't know. Draft Mike.
Mike for president!
Mike for emperor for life. Yeah. And we'll see you guys soon. Good hunting, listeners. Nice to meet you. Where you been? I could show you incredible things. Supers, fighters, titans, wins. Oh, yeah. And I thought, my God, look at that space. You were
look like my next Doomsday? Eve's a game, wanna play? Ay. New drama, raging cries, read your jabber like a magazine. Ain't it funny, bitches lie, and I know you heard about me. So hey, let's be friends, I'm dying to see how this one ends. Grab your atrons and my hand, I can make the bad fights good for a weekend. So it's gonna be forever. Type your name. Mini ships, TFIs, I could show you incredible things. Stolen FCs, pretty spies, we're the kings of the low sex. Find out what you want, be that merc for a month. Wait, the worst is yet to come. Dunking on your tech breeze. So it's gonna be forever, or we'll burn it down in flames. You can tell me when it's over, if the hype was worth the pain. But I'll always have allies, they'll tell you I'm insane. Cause you know we are the players, and you are the game. Cause we're rich and you're reckless, we'll take this way too far. It'll leave you shipless. Type your name. Corpse only wants off, cause it's torture. Don't say I didn't, say I didn't warn ya. Corpse only wants off.